In spite of all our mistakes, missteps, misjudgments, and misgivings, the world today would be a completely different place if our country, conservative, liberal, black, white, rich, poor, north, south, Manhattan, New York, or Manhattan, Kansas, Americans all, had turned our back on the injustices and the inhumanities that relentlessly stalked the globe. Supporting the troops and their families on the front lines of the war on terror is not a partisan action. It's an act of pride, compassion, love, concern, anguish, and hope. They carry our colors in the arm's way and have since 1776. And this is his poem. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you the flag that flew over Valley Forge. It was torn in two by the gray and blue and bled through two world wars. I give you a flag that burned in the street in protest and anger and shame. The very same flag that covered the man who died defending her name. We now stand together, Americans all, either by choice or by birth, to honor the flag that's flown to the moon and changed the face of this earth. History will show this flag stood a friend to the hungry, the homeless, and lost, that a mixture of men as common as clay valued one thing above cost. And they signed it in blood from Bunker Hill to Saigon, Kuwait, Bosnia, Kabul, Baghdad, and Tokori. I give you the flag that says to the world, each man has a right to be free. Thank you.
Post 95 for being a part of this, Veterans Affairs, Veterans of Foreign Wars. And with that in mind, I would like to ask anyone here who has served in our military, would you please stand? This very special day this morning. So we thank you for your sacrifice, for your service on behalf of all of us. I'd also like to recognize the Hebron Boy Scout Troop, number 28, Mark Sabia, Scoutmaster here as well. Privileged that you are with us. What a great day to celebrate freedom in this great country, freedom in Christ. Would you stand with me for our call to worship? Let us give thanks to God for the land of our birth, with all its chartered liberties, for all the wonder of our country's story.
We give you thanks, O God.
For leaders in the nation and state, and for those who in days past and in these present times have labored for the Commonwealth.
We give you thanks, O God.
For those who in all times and places have been true and brave, and in the world's common ways have lived upright lives and ministered to their fellows.
We give you thanks, O God.
For those who served their country in its hour of need, and especially for those who gave even their lives in that service.
We give you thanks, O God.
God of the ages, we thank you for all who have served in the armed forces of this country. We thank you for the freedom their sacrifice has earned and guarded for us. Help us to prize this freedom and use it well. We ask you to bless all living veterans in a special way today, as well as the families of all veterans. Comfort those who grieve, for those who gave the last full measure of devotion. Strengthen those who bear physical, emotional, and spiritual wounds. Stand with those who provide care of them. And move us to reach out to sisters and brothers who are veterans, or relatives of veterans, or who currently serve in the military. We pray for the day when no one needs to serve in the military. Help us to live now in anticipation of that day as people who long for peace, who pray for peace, and who seek to be peacemakers in this world. I encourage you to join me in prayer as we pray as he taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Child's not a part of that, we invite you on Tuesday nights. And if you want children, would you come at this time, please?
Thank you.
As the Boy Scout troop makes its way to the front, I wanted to just give you a little bit of description. This large plaque that you see displayed here is the Roll of Honor. These are all the men who served in the World War II who are a part of First Congregational Church of Hebron. And so the Boy Scouts are going to read these names to us. Wanted to let you know this plaque and many other wonderful artifacts are found in the Civilian Aircraft Observation Post, which is this small building that you may have passed by on the way in here this morning. Our church historian, Dottie Tite, would you please stand, Dottie, just so people can recognize who you are. Dottie spends a lot of time and a lot of great effort in making that a wonderful place where we can celebrate history here that has direct relation to the history of this church. So please, before you leave today, stop in there and Dottie will be able to show you anything that you would like to see there. In your bulletin this morning, you'll actually see an envelope that says special offering. Any money that goes into that specific offering envelope will go to renovating the observation post. So I want to encourage you, if you would like to give towards that, that's where the special offering envelope will go toward. That being said, it's a great privilege to have these names be read by the Boy Scouts. Thank you, Mark.
John J. Johnson. Mervyn H. Little. Lucius W. Robinson, Jr. Gordon J. Rathbun. Frederick T. Ives. Carlton P. Jones. Arthur M. Keith.
Edwin R. Smith. George M. Brooks. Clarkson L. Bailey. Clifford R. Wright. Miles M. Rogers. Fletcher W. Ward. Champlain G. M. Marine.
James F. Rogers. And the Grover R. Ives. And the Bradford E. Smith. And the Alfred German. And the Everett V. Porter. And Leslie G. Kinney. And Andrew C. Ives.
Elton W. Brooks. Alexander German. Irvin L. Griffin. Donald E. Griffin, William J. Johnson, Marshall H. Porter, Milton R. Porter, William S. Griffin, Jr., Edward D. Graham, Lenny C. Jr., Warren R. Smith, Robert Johnson.
Earl Tucker. Adolph German. Irving W. Brown. Louis Roth. Charles O. Johnson. Joseph M. Griffin Jr. Kenneth O. Griffin. Harold J. Cummings, Jr.
The writer of this beautiful piece of prose, John Gillespie McGee Jr., was an 18-year-old American when he went to Britain in October 1940 during World War II and joined the Royal Canadian Air Force. He flew in a Spitfire squadron and was killed at age 19 on December 11, 1941, during a training flight from the airfield near Scotwick, Lincolnshire. This poem was written on the back of a letter to his parents, which stated, "I am enclosing a verse I wrote the other day. It started at 30,000 feet and was finished soon after I landed." High Flight by John Gillespie McGee Jr. Oh, I have slipped the surly bonds of earth and danced the skies on laughter-silvered wings. Sunward I've climbed and joined the tumbling mirth of sun-split clouds, and done 100 things you have not dreamed of, wheeled and soared and swung high in the sunlit silence. Hovering there, I've chased the shouting wind along and flung my eager craft through footless halls of air. Up, up the long, delirious, burning blue, I've topped the windswept heights with easy grace where never lark or even eagle flew. And while with silent, lifting mind, I've trod the high, untrespassed sanctity of space, put out my hand and touched the face of God. if I could have all the children down in front here, I'd have also in here. Today we celebrate Veterans Day. We celebrate those who have served in the United States military, both alive and those who have passed on in service to this great country. Some may ask, however, what exactly are we celebrating? In fact, what is it that these brave men and women are fighting and serving for? President George W. Bush, in his Veterans Day proclamation just last year, said, "Through their commitment to freedom, America's veterans have lifted millions of lives and made our country and the world more secure. They have demonstrated to us that freedom is the mightiest force on earth. We resolve that their sacrifices will always be remembered by a grateful nation." We celebrate our veterans because they are committed to preserving our freedom. What kind of freedoms? Well, certainly our Bill of Rights of the U.S. Constitution mentions the freedom of religion. That's kind of important. Freedom of speech, freedom of the press, freedom of assembly, and many other freedoms. Presidents have often referred to the freedoms that we have in this country. Perhaps you remember the words of Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who said, "In the future days, which we seek to make secure, we look forward to a world founded upon four essential freedoms. The first is freedom of speech and expression everywhere in the world. The second is freedom of every person to worship God in his own way everywhere in the world. The third is freedom from want, which translated into world terms means economic understanding, which will secure to every nation a healthy peacetime life for its inhabitants everywhere in the world. The fourth is freedom from fear, which translated into world terms means a worldwide reduction of armaments to such a point and in such a thorough fashion that no nation will be in a position to commit an act of physical aggression against any neighbor anywhere in the world." Now, certainly those are very noble freedoms. And they are some of the freedoms that our great veterans, young and old, dead and alive, have fought to secure. But I want to take things a step further. And I want to ask, what is the source of all these freedoms? I could probably poll the folks here today and ask you, what is the source of freedom? Is it the government? Some would say yes. Some would say that the government gives us freedom. Maybe you believe that. But actually, those who founded this country had a different idea. Our Declaration of Independence says, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." According to the Declaration of Independence, our liberty or freedom does not come from our government, but from our Creator. And believe it or not, the great men and women who helped to form this nation in the 18th century were not the first to come up with the notion that God was the source of all freedom. There were some folks before them. Thousands of years ago, the writer of Psalm 119 said, "I will walk about in freedom, for I have sought out your precepts." This Old Testament writer looked to God himself, the Creator, as the source of freedom. And in the prophet Isaiah, chapter 61, we read, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor." This prophet, again, thousands of years ago, implies that the Lord himself is the one who proclaims freedom. Now, what I find incredibly fascinating is we have the book of Isaiah. Hundreds of years later, we have an account in the Gospel of Luke. See if any of this sounds familiar. Luke chapter 4, verses 14 through 21. "Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. And he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Jesus says, "Isaiah prophesied about the one who would proclaim freedom. Here I am, fulfilling that prophecy." True freedom, Jesus says, is found in me. When Isaiah spoke about one who proclaimed freedom, he was talking about me, and I'm here. And it is that freedom that Christ gives that survives in prison cells, in prisoner of war camps, in the foxhole, in the most terrible moments of war. Freedom in Christ. Jesus made two very distinct claims. John chapter 8, verse 32, Jesus said, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." You've probably heard that before. And he also said in John 14, 6, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Our founders of this country were right when they recognized that God himself was the originator of freedom. And Jesus spells it out more clearly. He says, "You want to know exactly how to find that freedom? It's in me." Truth sets us free, and Jesus says, "I am that truth, that way, and that life." If you're here this morning, veteran or not, member of this church or not, if you've not experienced the freedom that Jesus Christ offers, in spite of the freedom that America can offer, you're still not truly free. Jesus Christ is the source of true freedom. Christ died that you could be set free, free from guilt, free from sin, free from God's wrath. And I want to close with an invitation for you to receive that freedom. Just a couple of passages very, very quickly for you. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Romans 6:23, "The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Romans 10:13, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." In John chapter 1, verse 12, "Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name," speaking of Jesus, "he gave the right to become children of God." If you'd like to receive that freedom this morning, I'm going to pray a prayer. If you'd like to join with me in that request of our Savior that he would give you that freedom, simply agree with me in your heart as I pray. Let's all bow our heads and close our eyes as I pray. Lord, I admit that I have sinned and made myself unclean before you. I understand that I deserve death as penalty for my sins. And I believe that Jesus Christ paid the price with his blood. I want to turn away from my lifestyle of selfishness and sin. I repent. I confess Jesus Christ as Savior, and I put him in control of my life as Lord. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer, maybe for the first time in your life, or you'd like to find out a little bit more about what freedom in Christ is about, please see me after the service. I'd love to talk with you a little further. But I'd like us to celebrate the freedom we have in this country.